Figure skating fans, it's episode number 5 of Ice Talk, the figure skating podcast from Ice Network. I'm Nick McCarville, your host, back in the host chair after taking a week off, and a big thanks, obviously, to Jackie Wong and to Lynn Rutherford for holding down the fort last week. They had a great chat between the two of them, and then they had two-time reigning world champion Javier Fernandez. Jackie had a great chat with him, so if you missed that, make sure to hop on to iTunes or to icenetwork.com and check it out. This week, we've got another great show, more figure skating royalty joining me. First off, Tanith White, Olympic silver medalist, of course, and she will be right here with us on Ice Talk. We'll talk all things ice dance, as well as look back at last week's Rustelecom Cup in Russia, and look ahead at Trophy France in Paris this coming weekend. And then I've got a couple athletes who will be at Trophy France, two-time reigning world champions in ice dance, Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron. But first, let's chat with Tanith. Tanith White, welcome to Ice Talk. We're really happy that you could join us.
Thank you. I'm so happy I could as well.
Yeah, so now give us a little bit of an update. I like to embarrass my guests when they come on. You are a four-time world medalist, of course, the 2006 ice dancing silver medalist at the Olympics alongside Ben Augusto, and 5 U.S. national titles to your name, Tanith. Those are some good accomplishments. But what have you been up to lately? We obviously know that you're an ice desk host here for Ice Network, but tell the fans what else you've been up to.
Yeah, so for the last year and a half or so, I've been working with NBC as a sports sideline reporter for all different sports.
Yeah.
So along with my work as a play-by-play or a commentary host on the broadcasts for skating with NBC, I'm also covering all kinds of different sports. Leading up to the summer games, obviously, it was a lot of very new sports for me. But now that we're getting back into the winter season, a lot more skating, which is great, and a little bit of curling as well. So they keep me on my toes.
Nice. Some curling. I feel like that would involve a lot of studying for me.
I think because of my Canadian roots, it's just a little bit more familiar.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we had one tweet from a fan come in from Don Rhodes from Chicago, and she wants to know, I felt like it was appropriate to ask you right away, you've really sort of gotten this fully realized broadcasting career. So what was sort of the mechanism, or how did you train to make sure you were ready for that?
It's been a long process. Of course, initially I sort of fell into it when I was invited by different networks, a little bit towards the end of our career, and then more so after I finished competing, to be involved in different kinds of projects. But more recently, and once I decided I really did want to concentrate on sideline reporting specifically, it was just a matter of speaking with NBC and taking some really good advice I got along the way, which is just that a lot of athletes are afforded the opportunity to kind of dabble in broadcasting, particularly related around their own sports broadcast after their competitive careers. But you shouldn't just presume that the networks know that that's really something you absolutely want to do as a career. It's a fun opportunity. Generally, most people want to give it a try, but not everyone necessarily wants to make a career on television. And so I got some really good advice to go ahead and make sure it was known across the board that this was something that I was really hoping to do and a new direction to evolve my career into. And I've just been so fortunate that NBC continues to give me the opportunities to stretch and grow, and hopefully I can continue doing that. But at the very least, I'm sure I'll still be involved with all of the Olympic sports.
Yeah. What was the most random, or the one that required sort of the most learning for you in the lead up to summer?
You know, I spent most of my time sideline reporting on volleyball.
Oh, nice.
Indoor, leading up to the games, which was not completely unfamiliar to most. It's a pretty understandable game. But I have to say that most exciting summer sport that I got to cover a little bit of was in equestrian. I really didn't have much experience watching Olympic equestrian events. And there is one portion of the Grand Prix, as they call it, that has the horses and their riders performing to music.
No
so
way.
So I felt
Seriously?
Like it was right up my alley. It was very, very appealing to the ice dancer in me. And that was probably the most fun that I had discovering a new sport during the summer game.
Can the horses do twizzles?
They, you know what? They have their own variation of swizzles. You would be very surprised at how dexterous they are.
Oh my gosh, this is a dangerous road that we're going down.
Yeah. Anyone curious, you have to look it up. There's even one that performs the theme from Ghostbusters, so it can be very entertaining.
Amazing. I will leave that to our fans to find that online. Now, do you and Ben, do you perform at all anymore, the two of you guys?
No, we don't. The last time we skated together, I believe it was last Christmas in Japan. We did a Christmas show with Daisuke Takahashi. And after that show, I really felt like I had taken a couple years off and come back in 2014 to skate professionally a little bit more. And I really felt like after that 1 year back into it, that it just quite didn't feel the same to me. And I really was so focused at that time on developing my broadcasting. I felt like had to kind of dive in and just sort of let go all the way to give myself the best chance possible.
And I do want to know if you and Charlie just ever happened to like go and skate for fun.
No, we don't. We tried to skate together a little bit. He choreographed the number for Ben and I and skated together to do that. But we kept banging into each other and it was really embarrassing. We do not have good timing together. So we'll keep all our chemistry off the ice.
Oh, that's perfect. Well, Tanith White, thank you so much for joining us here on Ice Talk. Let's kind of dive into the season head first. I mean, you were obviously at Skate America to start off the year. What have been your impressions? We're three Grand Prix down and three to go so far for the year.
Yeah, it's going by quickly.
Yeah, right? It always does.
It always does. You're right. And Skate America feels like it was yesterday. Of course, I can start with the dance. And I have to say, the first thing that really caught me off guard was with the change in the draw for the starting order for the short program or short dance. Mm-hmm. That was really one of the most startling things for me this season to kick things off with Maya and Alex Shibutani, the world silver medalist, skating first in the short dance. That kind of shook me right at the beginning of the season. And it's been interesting to see how that's kind of unfolded throughout the first three Grand Prix with the start order. Expect that to continue to play.
Have you liked that change? Do you like that, Tanith?
I personally don't. Yeah. I found it, for example, again, using the dance at Skate America, I thought in the instance of Maya and Alex, you know, people were still kind of getting settled into their seats, unfortunately. Yeah. Not that any skater should be afforded, you know, any lack of attention.
No, but the better teams deserve the spot that they've earned. I mean, I sort of tend to agree with you.
Yeah, I just kind of felt like, especially in ice dancing, where some audience members, it may not be as obvious as it is in the other disciplines, you know, the success of a routine versus another. And so I think a lot of the time in dance, if you're watching and you've watched a few of the up-and-coming teams or some of the younger, lower-ranked teams, and then as the groups go on, then you get to see someone like the Shibutanis or someone like Hubble and Donahue, and you can compare a twizzle sequence from Group A to Group B, and suddenly you say, oh, wow, that was really impressive. So I think it kind of builds up the excitement and the energy to the end in a way
that crescendo.
I enjoy, maybe because I'm familiar with it, but I kind of felt like it threw me a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, what else has caught your eye this season?
Well, so far, I mean, discipline by discipline, I think there's been quite a lot of interest in the dance, but I know we'll get to that plenty.
Yes.
My other favorite discipline, personally, as a viewer, is the men's event, and I'm just blown away by what these competitors are attempting. Everyone going out breaking records. I mean, Nathan Chen started the season off breaking a record. Then Yuzuru broke a record, set a record, landing the first quad loop in competition. It's just absolutely mind-boggling what these young men are attempting. And to go along with it, just the way that they've approached their components and improving their skating skills, I've just really had to stand back in awe of the physicality and just the athleticism of the men's event this season.
Well, and I also think it's been a pleasure to watch in a way, because I would say maybe the last 2 or 3 years, it was growing pains for all of the men. And there were a lot of sloppy programs, and not to say, you know, not to take anything away from Javier Fernandez or from Yuzuru Hanyu and the skating that they have encouraged from the rest of the world. But there were fits and starts, I think. I would tend to agree with you. Now it feels like it's fully realized, and I hope in 2018 we'll see the best of it too.
I think we will. I really do. And you know, you bring up someone like Javier Fernandez, who, you know, I have to tell you, I had sort of an eye-opening moment. I adore Javi, and I love his charisma on the ice. But I was choreographing a program early this season, probably in February, and I was choosing music from The Mission for a senior man. And I was thinking, I remember Matt Savoy from the United States skating mm-hmm. to The Mission, but I don't necessarily have a good grip on who else has skated to this in the top level. And I found a video of Javier Fernandez skating to it as in his free program in, I think it was 2007, 2008.
Really?
And if anyone can go back and watch this video, it is, I mean, I just had to stand back and wonder at how much he has improved his skating just from the basic skating level. I mean, he was legitimately struggling through back crossovers into what was, of course, a gorgeous triple axel in this program. But to look at that and to think, for someone who compared to, for example, Yuzuru Hanyu, who is such a natural talent,
yeah,
but then
right.
also to express just as much wonder for someone who can go from, you know, really struggling with basic skating skills to this incredible performer who has become more and more sound every season.
Hmm. It's funny. We can kind of hopscotch a little bit. I want to talk about Javi from Rustelecom Cup this past weekend and the way that I just feel like he's continuing to show the training that he and Brian Orser are doing off the ice and making sure that they're working hard. But then Tanith, he also just brings this sort of assuredness. And maybe it was all those struggles that he went through for years and years, and then also being this kid from Spain that I don't think anyone expected his career. He's kind of the Iceman. It doesn't seem like a lot of it phases him. And, you know, hopscotching Shoma Uno the way that he did in the free skate, he sort of is continuing to me to prove that he is the skater to beat until proven otherwise.
Yeah, I agree. And he hasn't, as far as I recall, strayed too far from who he feels like he is on the ice, from the characteristics that he likes to portray. He's stayed very true and just systematically improved and improved and improved. And I have to say, watching his free skate, and to your point about, you know, the training that he's put in, the stamina that it must take, I was thinking, to be able to stay in character the way he does with a program full of quads has to be just incredible. I mean, there's never a moment where he can sort of fade into himself and start thinking about the next jump. I mean, every note and every moment of that program is very involved. And I think, you know, enough can't be said about putting on a show like that and also being able to do the technical content that he has. I mean, he doesn't have a choice. He trains with Yuzuru Hanyu, so I just got such a kick out of when he landed his second quad sal, and he landed and he hops out and does a good shoulder shimmy. I mean, what are you supposed to do when you train with Yuzu and you see him right. do a quad loop into a back outside spread eagle? You know, and I kind of like to imagine getting inside his head and thinking, you're watching that in practice and going, what am I going to do that's going to compete with this? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to do me. Yeah. You know, all yeah. the way. Mm-hmm. And I really love that about him.
Yeah. And greatness breeds greatness. And, you know, they very yeah. much have made that what they're surrounded by there. And I think that's only helped them. I want to dive in a little bit more into Rustelecom Cup. We obviously saw Javi come out with a victory. And in the women's event, Anna Pogorelia, I think really, you know, not necessarily coming of age. We've seen greatness from her before, obviously. The medal that she won at the World Championships earlier this year. But I thought two things from her skates, and let me know what you thought. Aggressive and mature. And she really put out performances that were assured. I mean, she won by 20 points. Not yeah. to say that that was the strongest of fields. Elena Radionova winning the silver, Courtney Hicks the bronze, and then Yulia Lipnitskaya having that unfortunate injury. I think question marks sort of continued to float around her head. But what were your impressions, Tanith, of Anna?
I'm completely in agreement with you. I mean, I remember the notes kind of taking away after watching her free skate was just, it's pretty impressive how well she's carried the confidence and momentum from that world medal into this season. I mean, and it doesn't always work that way. It comes with a lot of pressure and a lot of responsibility, particularly when you consider what these young ladies in Russia have to deal with in terms of competition just nationally. Mm-hmm. It speaks to her maturity as a competitor. But I really, of course, there's room to develop with the interpretation, with the connection with the music and things like that. But she has really taken a step forward this season. And moreover, I had to say, watching her kind of get fierce and go for it, yes. I was wondering, being on home ice in Russia, is this sort of also a statement to say, don't forget about me, and Medvedeva is not the only one who's battling here? Yeah. I have to think she's got it in her mind, and the way she was skating made me feel like she's skating like she wants to compete to be Russia's number one, and she's not settled right now to just kind of take the back seat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, in the current atmosphere, that means not only Russia's number one, but the world number one.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's just jump to pairs real quick, and then, of course, we'll dive into the dance scheme. Savchenko and Massot, I think a lot of people expected them to win. They did so. They threw in a surprise at the end with that attempt at a quad throw Saukow, which wasn't landed, Tanith, but they obviously are making a play. Jackie Wong of Rocker Skating, who's one of our contributors for Ice Talk, he was very much talking about they're making a play at Megan Duhamel and Eric Radford on the technical component and wanting to very much push for a world gold medal this year.
Yeah, and I think they're doing it in the right way, in that even if these elements aren't 100% under their belts now, even maybe not 100% consistent in training, you've got to put it out in competition now if you want a chance to have these elements be secure and perhaps even add to some of that technical content for the Olympic season next year. So I think, despite some of the inconsistencies and in pair skating, unfortunately, as we saw at Skate America as well in certain instances, going for these quads and these higher-level technical elements can be especially scary, to be honest. I mean, there's a safety issue there,
yeah,
too,
absolutely.
You have to imagine, as you're developing these tricks. So I think they're doing the right thing in going for these big tricks, even if it doesn't all come together at each time. And thankfully for teams like Duhamel and Radford and Savchenko and Massot, there's a lot to fall back on as well with the remainder of their skating skills.
Very much so.
But I really like Savchenko and Massot, and I really think they've developed a lot. And their short program, I would stack it up as one of my favorite short dances as well of the year. I think it could pass right over into the dance event.
Yeah.
It's super entertaining. It's full of content. And I think they're doing an incredible job. As someone who really enjoyed Savchenko and Sokali, to say that I can look at Aliona now with a new partner and be just as impressed obviously speaks volumes to what an incredible pair skater she is, but also just what a smart pairing this was.
Yeah, well, and I also think, you know, for her to, I just feel like she reinvents herself every step of the way. And I've enjoyed in the few years that I've covered the sport, watching her take on different characters, and obviously now with a different partner, she's someone that is not a one-trick pony and continues to challenge herself. And I think that only helps her when, you know, say, okay, we've got this next challenge of trying to win another world gold medal, and Bruno seems very much happy to go along for that ride, which is great for the two of them.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right, so when we look at the dance field from Rustelecom Cup, it was Bobrova and Solovev over Madison Chalk and Evan Bates. I want first your thoughts there, Tanith. Caitlin Weaver and Andrew Poget were bronze medalists from Canada. And then let's go ahead and just talk about dance. Of course, I want your thoughts on the season as a whole.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Well, you know, in the free dance, Chalk and Bates had a costly mistake in their twizzle elements. So that certainly factored in to the overall result. Bobrova and Soloviev, I believe, very deserving of this win here. Their programs this season, I feel like they're well-suited. I think that they're performing them well, considering everything that they've been through over the last year or so. I was very impressed at Skate America when I first saw them, just at how prepared they were. And I think when I first watched them, even just on videos from the earlier fall internationals, my very first thought was that I thought that Dimitria had really improved. She in particular, I typically watch the girl. It's a habit of being a female partner. But
sure.
I have to say that I really thought that his skills had become even more sound. So I think they'll continue, of course, to be a factor in the top group of world ice dancers. I think they started the season, maybe even more importantly, making sure that they made the statement that they were Russia's number one dance team.
Yeah.
And and I don't think they'll have a problem continuing that through the season. And then Madison and Evan, you know, the last few seasons this has happened when I've been watching them as they go, but they'll start off at an earlier international event, and this season they did too. So they really were trying to get all of the kinks out as much as they could before the Grand Prix, and it worked. It absolutely worked, because from first viewing of these programs to what they did in Russia, I'm just blown away by how much work they must have put in at home to training and developing the performances of these programs. To me, my impression was completely different with what I saw in Russia, especially the short dance, which I thought was incredibly entertaining and so well performed. So if they can continue this trend, which they almost always do, it's practically, you know, a reputation now that they just, they work and work and work, and they take big steps between events. So I'm hopeful that they will continue developing and moving in the right direction. And you know, as you're doing that and you're taking on a lot to try to improve every little thing within a program, maybe, you know, a little twizzle error here or there can creep in earlier in the season, but I expect that to be ironed out.
Do you, Tanith, what's your take on, it seems to trend more now that people like to take on, say, one or two smaller events before the Grand Prix, but then on the flip side, the, you know, you can work out those kinks, and I think it gets you warm for the Grand Prix, but then I think the worry is, are you exhausted by the end of the season? Is there a negative to that trend too?
I suppose there could be, depending on the team. I haven't seen anyone necessarily burn out. I think for me, the risk in that situation is when a program doesn't develop. So if you've performed two early fall internationals and then you go to the Grand Prix and then you go on and nothing's changed, I think as a viewer I get burnt out because I feel like I'm seeing the same thing over and over. And because I'd have the expectation of evolution, if it didn't happen, sometimes that kind of gives me a letdown that's maybe a little more subconscious than anything else. So I think that's the only pitfall in there. And to be honest, that rarely ever happens. And it certainly wouldn't with a team like Chalk and Bates.
Got it. I do want your quick take on Weaver and Poget. Do you feel like they've continued to evolve or have they been, I mean, they're getting challenged now with obviously Tessa and Scott coming back. Where do you see them, I guess?
Yeah, well, honestly, I feel like it's too early for me to say because they had a lot of change this summer and in the off season, a lot of traveling, a lot of moving around, obviously working with Nikolai Morozov now as well. It's just, I don't think they've had time, enough time necessarily to settle in enough with their new circumstances for me to jump ahead and say one way or the other what to expect for the rest of the season. Certainly, they're a very capable team. You know, the qualities that they have as a couple will shine through, in my opinion, no matter what. As soon as they get comfortable with their material, their chemistry will be there. And those qualities that made them one of the best in the world will continue to thrive. But I kind of feel like it's too early to say. I think that their programs certainly have potential, you know, but I think they would be the first to say that they still need to develop with them because what struck me the most in Russia was just they looked uneasy with the execution of the program, and that just looks to me like maybe they haven't had that many weeks of training without sort of choreographing and developing along the way. So I think they need a little bit of time before anyone jumps to judgment.
Well, and I also think when anyone, whether it be, you know, a dance team, a pair, a single skater, makes a lot of changes in the off season, it's going to take a little more time to really feel at ease with what they're doing.
Absolutely. And when you're at when you're a capable, strong, high-level team and you change, you know, to start working with a different choreographer or a new coach, that new coach or choreographer is going to have a lot of opinions, having seen you for so many years, of how they can help you develop. And it just takes a lot of time to get to all of those points. So it's not just like, oh, I'm going to change choreographers and we're not really going to address anything else. Any top coach or choreographer is going to have a lot that they want to work on. And speaking from my experience of changing coaches later on in my dance career, it was really difficult to actually kind of get down to just the repetition and the basic training because there was so much work that our coaches felt like we need to get to this. And everyone has their own opinion on what they like to train and what's important to them. So I think it's just, it's a time of adaptation and, you know, they're so lovely and so wonderful. I can't imagine anything less than them developing so much more throughout the season.
Got it. We're speaking with Tanith White right here. It's episode 5 of Ice Talk, the Ice Network figure skating podcast. Tanith, let's go down a little bit and talk about just the international scene for ice dance this year. It's a very crowded field at the top. I think that there are a lot of teams, you know, obviously with Tessa and Scott, Virtue and Moyer making their comeback this year. The French team, we're going to talk about them in a few minutes. They're making their debut late in the season at the Trophée France in Paris. But how do you see the field shaping out this year? And I guess what are you sort of excited for as we reach not only the Grand Prix final, but then, of course, nationals and worlds in March?
Mm-hmm. Well, I won't be so bold as to predict how things will end.
That's all right.
At the end of the season, because if you remember from last season, was it Weaver and Poget that won the Grand Prix final? Everything flip-flopped from, you know, mid to two-thirds in the season towards the World Championships. I think Maya and Alex Shibutani were fourth maybe at the Grand Prix final and then second at the World Championships. So, you know, there's a lot of room for things to continually change throughout the season in terms of the rankings of all of these top teams. But I've been very excited to see what everyone's come up with. I think this is a really interesting season in terms of the Olympic quadrennial. I like to see what teams are sort of experimenting with at this time. Generally, in my experience, it's a year where you maybe don't go completely crazy doing something you've never tried before. You sort of are starting to hone in on what makes your team, what makes you special, what makes you stand out. And I really like to take note of the pre-Olympic season in that way to see where teams are going in terms of their strengths and their musical choices and things like that. Having said that, the hip-hop short dance has thrown everything into a tizzy. I did not know how anyone was going to really embrace this, and I've been so impressed with the development of the interpretation of this new short dance rhythm as the season goes on. But it's certainly given us the opportunity as dance fans to see new sides of all of the top couples. And I think it's been an interesting light to shine.
Okay, so Tanith, we're not going to put you on the spot for a world champion. Let's leave that for March. How's that sound? In ice
that
dance.
Sounds great.
Okay, now I want to get to a preview. This coming weekend, it's Trophée France. We'll go through there. We've got just a few minutes left here with Tanith White. Just for our fans out there, a rundown, Tanith. Gracie Gold is in the field this week in the women's event. Medvedeva and then also Mau Asada. Javier Fernandez is going back-to-back. He makes his way from Russia to France. And then we're also going to see Nathan Chen, who I believe is making his senior Grand Prix debut, if I'm not incorrect. And then Adam Rapan will be there as well. Savchenko Massot, they're also doing the back-to-back like Javi. And then, of course, the French ice dance team. Tanith, what for you sort of jumps out this coming weekend in Paris?
Off the top, I have to say I'm obviously extremely excited to see Papadakis and Cizeron make their Grand Prix debut. They had an earlier competition in France, an international event, but the video quality was poor, so I decided not to watch. So I'm holding out to be surprised by their new programs in France. And I believe it's the first time they've competed at this Grand Prix event since becoming world champions. And that'll be a really nice homecoming for them to be able to perform on home ice. So obviously thrilled to see them. Nathan Chen as well, as you mentioned, had a pretty exciting start to his season. It's kind of hard to believe that this would be his Grand Prix debut, but I think you are right. He started out the season, he had a summer skate and then an early international where he beat Patrick Chan. Of course, it wasn't his absolute best skate, but the development and the direction that he's heading in is just so exciting to me. And Gracie Gold, from Skate America and sort of continuing to fight off some demons from the end of last season, I know her confidence, she admitted, was a little bit shaky coming into the season, having taken some time off in the summer. But I'm really looking forward to seeing Gracie continuing to get back into her fighting spirit that I think defines her so well at her best. So I'm really hopeful that she'll be able to shine in the way Gracie Gold can.
Yeah, you know, and I want to bring up, she made those comments after Skate America, and I think they were not necessarily taken out of context, but she was talking about her shape and talking about being in shape. And when she came on to Ice Talk a few weeks ago, she talked about traveling this summer and really taking time to be with Carly and to do things abroad, and they went to Japan, and you know, it takes a lot of hard work, and I obviously can't speak for it, but you know it very well, Tanith. And I think to see someone like Gracie fighting through what she is, that world's experience hit her really hard, and I think for her to take the time and working with Frank and doing all that she's doing, I have to say I really admire that, because I think that she's someone that has been through a lot And this is only going to make her stronger, I think, in the long run.
I agree. And although in the aftermath of Skate America, it seemed like she was kind of framing her time away from the ice in a slightly more negative light, I have to believe that at the time when she took that time, it was really what she needed.
I agree.
And I think, you know, from my perspective, the important thing that I would want to say is that time away is okay. And if you're not happy or you need time to consider where you are or where you're going, valuing yourself enough to say this is what I need is healthy. And I think that's what she did. And I think because of that, although it might be a little bit of a slower start because of that time away from the ice, ultimately she will be able to have a better opportunity to reach her ultimate dreams in skating than she would if she had sacrificed herself and how she was feeling and her mental health and just pushed through for the sake of thinking that that's always the right way to go.
Yeah, and I also think, you know, everything happens for a reason. I think the timing, we're not at the Olympic year. We're a year out. I just think she's going to learn and grow so much from it. Tanith, I don't want you to go on and take equestrian as a full-time sideline reporter. Stay with us in figure skating, please.
I'll try.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on Ice Talk. We really appreciate it.
My pleasure. Thanks, Nick.
Yeah, thank you. That was Tanith White, Ice Network contributor. She's the host of our Ice Desk when we're on site. Thank you, Tana, for the nice chat. And next up, we've got some more ice dancers. The French team, their two-time reigning world champions, Gabriela Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron. Gabby, I want to start with you. A year ago, you guys were announcing that you had to pull out of the Grand Prix because of your concussion and the after effects of that. How excited are you to get back onto the Grand Prix ice this year?
I'm very excited. This period of the season is really exciting. Grand Prix is really good competition. It's the beginning of the season, so everybody's showing their new programs, and I'm really happy to go back to France and also to Japan. So I'm really happy that we can do this Grand Prix season this year.
So, Guillaume, you guys are two-time reigning world champions, two-time reigning European champions, French champions. Is that a certain pressure that comes along with it, or do you ignore all of that and just want to skate the way you skate?
I would say both. It's a little bit of pressure to know that everybody is expecting us, but we also just want to skate as we usually do, just really enjoy the program, the performance, the moment with the audience, and just get the best of ourselves as we usually do.
Gabby, we talked about it a little bit, but I want to go back to that concussion. How much did it affect you, and was it something that I don't think people talked about it that much last year, but it very much, I mean, you guys didn't compete anywhere until French Nationals, is that right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So how much of that was a struggle for you to have to get through?
It was very long, and the worst was mostly because I didn't know when I would get better. It kept, like, being, like the doctor said, skate when you feel better, and it's not. And I was asking how much time will it take for me to get better. And they're like, we cannot say anything. It could be 2 days. It could be 2 years. So it was mostly hard for that. And then after, sometimes just coming back, I was feeling fine. And then 3 days later, I had some things coming back. So it was like sometimes a little bit regressing, and it was really frustrating. But I managed my way to get better. I did a lot of sessions with the doctors and everything. A lot of exercises on the computer, everything. And I got better.
Guillaume, what did you do during that time? I mean, it's unique. You know, I think skaters have concussions, and we've seen it with a lot of different skaters. But how do you deal with it when your partner's going through it? I mean, you've got to stay in good shape too, right?
I was just going to the gym a lot, and I was still practicing on the ice every day. I was just trying to keep myself in shape and motivated.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you guys did somewhat of a test event at the French Masters last month, but this coming weekend at Trophy France, it'll be the first time that we really see these new programs. Can you tell me a little bit about them and sort of the thought and idea behind the programs themselves?
So Shore Dance is swing and blues. So it's very, we really like this program. It's a lot of fun to perform that. It's a really different energy from what we've been doing so far. So blues is like very sexy, and then swing is more like just like fun and like partying, and it's just a lot of fun. I think the audience gets really into it. The first time that we did it in France, I think the audience really liked it, so we're excited to show that. And free dance is also pretty different from what we've been doing for the last 2 years. It just plays on a lot of contrast and like very busy parts or very really silent parts. It's pretty hard to describe. As always, we're still in process to like really get deeper into this program. It's very complex for us. It's a big challenge, but we're also really, really excited to show it and get a feedback from the audience.
Yeah, Gabby, did you guys feel like you had to make big changes this year? I mean, compared to what you've done the last 2 years, obviously, winning two world titles, you've proven that you're one of the best teams in the world, if not the best. But did it feel like you had to make some sort of change to the program content themselves?
You mean since last year?
Yeah.
Well, I think we both went with our feelings. We always kind of do what we feel like doing at this precise moment in our life. And I think in this moment in our life, we wanted to explore like more different things. We wanted to explore more different music, things that were not used and nobody thought ever to use as a program music. We wanted to see how it could affect the choreography and the body movements. And I think we really wanted to explore and to do something like really meaningful also.
Guillaume, I had Tanith White on just a few minutes ago, and she was saying about the both of you guys that she feels like you're probably the most artistic of any of the dance teams in the world. Is that also a feeling of pressure of, you know, we've got to create something big and different, or are you just doing what Gabby's saying and sort of following your hearts and creating what you want to create?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really nice compliment. We just really try to do what we what excites us. Like it's hard to like keep being yourself and like trust in yourself when there's that much pressure around you. But I think the team that we have is amazing because they push us really far. Like they help us to push our limits, but also they make sure that we stay in our own. They just make sure that we stay ourselves through any programs that we do. It's a combination of new things, but also we're also just. I mean, it's us. It's just. It's still us skating. So we're changing things, but not. We're just trying to do more complex things.
Yeah, it all sounds so simple. I'm joined by Gabriella Papadakis and Guillaume Cizerone. Gabby, I think you guys are going to get this question a lot this season. Can you guess what I'm going to ask you about?
Absolutely not, but go on.
I'm wondering about training alongside Tessa and Scott and how it's gone so far in their return.
Well, honestly, it's really great training with them.
Good. Like, yeah.
I didn't know them much before. I saw them, but like I didn't know them before. And well, they're really, really easygoing people, nice people to train with. They will make compliments when they feel like to, and it's just I think we push each other forward. And I'm happy when they skate good. They're happy when we skate good. And it's just normal and great, you know.
Good. That's great. And Guillaume, are you and Tessa still escaping to any dance classes away from the ice? And are you guys still doing that?
I mean, it's hard once the season is started. We have some different schedules, but so no, we were doing that this summer a few times because we, you know, just wanted to have fun. But now it's going to be more complicated.
Guillaume, tell me if you have designed the costumes that you guys will be wearing once again for your programs.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a partnership, I would say. I draw the costumes, but I take everybody's ideas, the coaches. I take Gabby's ideas, what she wants to wear. And then we decide together about, like, the style that we want to get. And then I make propositions. I just draw stuff. And once we all agree, which usually takes a while, then we send that to the seamstress in France.
Yeah. Gabby, is he good at listening of what you want in the costumes as well?
Yeah, of course, of course. It's ideas from everybody, and he makes something good with it.
I'm sure. I know a lot of people are looking forward to seeing what you guys will wear on the ice. I want to ask you, Gabby, you know, for the quad to go from Olympics to Olympics, it's a lot, I think, for athletes to try and balance. So as we're now on the closer side to 2018, how do you guys approach this season and make sure that you're doing what you need to do to be successful this year, but also then have your eye on what you want to accomplish at the Olympics in less than 18 months?
I mean, for me, I think this year is discovery, and like, how am I feeling it right now is that it's pre-Olympic season. I don't know, the French Scott are coming back.
Sure.
There are like teams that are really strong this year. From what we saw, the first two, three Grand Prix, there's nobody that's so much better than the other. There are like so much good couples, and we don't know what's happening. And there are a lot of skaters trying new things too, new styles, trying to discover their own. And we kind of took it like that too. We were like, you know what? If we want to try something weird and new, it's this year that we have to do it. So we're taking risks, but at the same time, It's fun. Like, we don't know what's gonna happen, and if it's a good season, then great, we would be happy. If it's not a good season, that we don't have the results we're expecting, then it's fine. We're gonna try harder the next year.
Yeah. No, I think that's probably the approach you have to have, and a smart one. With, you know, you still have that next season for the Olympics. I also wanted to ask you guys, was there ever a moment of being a little bit starstruck or in awe of Tessa and Scott whatsoever? I mean, the fact that you didn't really know them and then all of a sudden they're on the same ice as you?
Honestly, I was surprised when I heard they were coming back. I don't know. A lot of people were not, but I was. They're legends.
Hmm.
I grew up seeing them on TV and I don't know, I was a big fan of them. So, yeah, of course, there was a little bit of, like, the 12-year-old part of me that was like, oh, my God, we're going to be on the same ring at the same time.
Oh, I love envisioning that reaction of yours, Gabby. All right, we've got a few questions from fans that use the hashtag IceTalk to submit questions for Gabby and Guillaume. So, Guillaume, you get the first one. This fan, Sunbeam Gala, wants to know if you had or wanted to create any costumes for other skaters other than you and Gabby.
I've been designing Laurent Fournier and Nikolai Sorensen costumes this year, both short dance and free dance. And I've been designing their free dance costume last year, too.
Very cool. And do you want to do more of that moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, I could, yeah.
Awesome.
I would. I'm just not looking for it, but if
it
people
comes.
Want me to, then yes.
Right. All right. Issa at Art in Circles asks each of you, what is your favorite all-time ice dance program?
That's a tough one.
That's a hard question.
Yeah. I don't think I have any, honestly. I'm not able to choose. My mom used to show me a lot of old programs that she liked, and I liked them too. I think my favorite ice dance couple for me was Tessa and Scott.
Really?
I love a lot of their programs. But overall, in all the discipline, I'm I wouldn't be able to choose.
Yeah, no, but that's cool. I mean, and now you're literally teammates with them now.
Yeah.
Guillaume, can you pick one out?
I think I'm the same. One of my favorite programs is Tissan Scott's program on Pink Floyd. I think that was
a really big turn for Eisen.
Sveta Lermatova on Twitter, she asks, do you guys like to dance away from the ice rink? I think I know the answer, but tell her what sort of dance you do away from the rink.
I started to do like swing a year and a half ago, and maybe a bit more, but it's fun. It's mostly social. I took a lot of, like, I took a little bit of classes and things like that, and I mostly really like watching it on YouTube.
And what about you, Guillaume?
I really like to dance outside of the ice. I think if I wasn't a skater, I would probably be a dancer. I really like any style of dance, really. Hip-hop, ballet, social dances. I like them all.
Nice. Very good. All right, well, I want to close out with a little segment that we're introducing this week on Ice Talk. It's called Fire and Ice. And basically, I'm going to ask each of you questions, and I just want quick, short, hopefully fun answers. But Gabby, I'm going to ask you about Guillaume, and Guillaume, I'm going to ask you about Gabby.
Okay? Oh, gosh.
All right, let's start with Gabby. Gabby, what is Guillaume's favorite post-workout snack?
Cereal.
Is that right, Guillaume?
Yeah, that was an easy one.
Okay, and what about for Gabby?
She's got her period. It changes through time.
Well, what's the most recent?
No idea. She's changing all the time, so I can't really know.
Well, Gabby, what is it?
It's true, it's changing a lot, but I would say that chocolate is the safest answer. It's like whatever phase I'm in, chocolate always makes me happy.
Chocolate sees you through.
Has to be like very oily and sugary and like,
yeah, it has to be very fat.
All right. What is your favorite thing to do? So Guillaume, I'll ask you this about Gabby. Favorite thing to do in Montreal away from the rink?
Go to Starbucks coffee.
Is that right?
I wouldn't have, like, I was thinking about it. I was like, what's my favorite thing to do? I don't know. And then he mentioned it, Starbucks coffee. I'm like, yeah, that's true. He knows it better than me.
And Gabby, for Guillaume?
Watching TV shows.
In Montreal, that's not really...
That's very Montreal of you, Guillaume.
Montreal.
Is that right?
Yeah, that's not really specific of Montreal, but yeah, I love TV shows.
Okay, what's your current show that you're binging on, Guillaume?
The Crown.
Okay.
Just started it.
Nice. What is the thing that Gabby misses most about France?
Probably cheese.
Is that right?
Yeah, cheese, croissant, and foie gras.
Are the answers the same for Guillaume?
I don't really like cheese.
Yeah. No, I would say I think he really likes croissant, and I think his mom's cooking.
Does that sound about right, Guillaume?
My mom cooking? Mm. Yeah. I mean... Who wouldn't?
That's very true. All right, lastly, I think, Gabby, you're going to have an easy time with this. I don't know, Guillaume, if you'll have the answer, but if your partner could have a different job, what would that job be?
I don't know. I think a lot of different things. I don't know.
Do you want to guess one?
You can have just one job, usually.
He can have a few jobs. Why would he have to for him?
I thought this was the easy question.
I think he would have been good as a dancer.
So I'm going to guess that that's right, Guillaume.
What did you say?
She's a dancer.
Yeah.
And what would Gabby's job be, Guillaume?
I don't know. Maybe a writer or, something to do with literature.
Gabby, did you hear that?
Well, I have a list of like 40 different jobs I would like to do. And writer is one of them. So yeah.
All right. Guillaume, you nailed it.
But yeah, it's my like children's dream.
Very cool. To be a writer. Well, I can promise you it's not very glamorous. Merci beaucoup to both of you. I really appreciate we really appreciate it, and best of luck this weekend at home in Paris.
Thank you.
All right, podcast fans, that is episode 5 of Ice Talk. A big thanks goes out to Tanith White, and then also to Gabriella Papadakis and Guillaume Cizeron for joining me on what was an ice dance centric episode of Ice Talk. Of course, we're going to be back next week. We'll talk all things Paris, see how Gabby and Guillaume did there, and then look ahead to Cup of China as well as the end of the Grand Prix series. We are nearing that Grand Prix final, and the field will be shaping up by next week's time. We'll be back to discuss that. Now, we want to hear from you guys. Use hashtag Ice Talk on Twitter to let us know your questions, or tweet at me, Nick McCarville, or of course, at Ice Network. Now, if you like what you're hearing, please, please head to our iTunes page and leave us a good, we hope, review. And I'll be back next week. For my producer, Kate Sullivan, I'm Nick McCarville in the Ice Network studios in downtown Manhattan. Thank you for taking us for a spin once again. We'll talk to you guys soon.